Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
As promised, right here at 4 ahead of the Blitz, let's give away Caps tickets. They're playing the Senators this weekend. And I believe, barring anything unforeseen, Alex Ovechkin should be playing in career game number 1500 that night. Somebody's winning a pair. 800-636-1067, call or 10 now, October 25th against Ottawa. This weekend on Saturday, Oktoberfest night with the Caps. All tickets purchased through the special link I'm giving you. Include the Capitals Oktoberfest beer stein. For tickets and the complete Capitals schedule, go to thefandc.com/events. Danny, we are brought to everybody today by the law firm Cundori & Murad.
We love those guys. They can do an awful lot for you, like estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Let's get you your Beltway Blitz. We'll start you off on the gridiron. Lot to get to in Week 8 in the National Football League. First things first, Thursday night football, Vikings-Chargers. We talked earlier about the game. Feels like Minnesota needs it a little more, but both of these teams have taken on some water here. For the Vikings, they're 2-3 in their last five. Carson Wentz threw three picks in their last game or else they beat the Eagles. They got to find a way to get over 500 with the Lions, Ravens, Bears, Packers, Seahawks coming up on their schedule. On the flip side for the Chargers, remember, they started 3-0. They're 1-3 in their last four with losses to the Giants, the Commanders, and the Colts. After the Vikings, they get the Titans, very winnable, the Steelers, the Jaguars leveling up, but winnable, and then the Raiders, who they should beat. So there's a chance that they're in a pretty good spot going into the stretch run if they can win tonight.
Yeah, so my only counter to that is Denver's already out there at 5-2. The Chiefs are all of a sudden looking like the Chiefs again.
Yeah, if you're talking division, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more just from a wild card playoff standpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
Feels like they have a better chance than Minnesota with a loss tonight.
I would tend to agree. I mean, you look at Jacksonville coming off a disappointing one in their own right with New England and Buffalo, so there's two from that division. I think the NFC North gets one. There might be three from the AFC West, two from the AFC South. You are in a bit of a squeeze, but you're right. It's deeper in the NFC.
Some other storylines around the NFL in Week 8. Dolphins, Falcons, 1 o'clock game in Atlanta. Sounds like maybe Kirk Cousins gets the call in that game. Michael Penix has not been able to practice in full yet this week. He's dealing with a minor injury. Now, because it's Miami's defense, they're bad in a game that you're favored to win by over a touchdown. Penix is going to do everything he can, presumably, to play. This could be a get-right spot for him, and he needs one. But if Cousins gets a chance, huge opportunity for him. Remember, he was playing really well early last season. First couple games were rough post-Achilles. Then he got on a heater, had a 500-yard game with four touchdowns and an overtime win against Tampa Bay, who he lit up a couple of times. Then he gets hurt, and he was brutal and benched, turning the ball over. Worst stretch he's had as a starter, and he would tell you, and did this offseason, it's because I wasn't healthy. He's got a chance to be healthy and get a start maybe this week and prove that going into the trade deadline and maybe more importantly, an offseason where he might be able to get another starting
job. What's at stake there? Do you think, you know, someone might need to see a good showing before the trade deadline, and maybe that's an option all of a sudden?
I just don't think it's realistic that he gets traded.
Because of the contract?
Yeah, I mean, who needs a quarterback badly enough to give up a true asset for a half season? For a guy that comes in, may not be comfortable in your offense right away. I see that Joe Flacco really helped the Bengals, so maybe that gives a team the inclination to do it, but I think he's in Atlanta for the rest of the year. And more than anything else, you're putting something on tape to show, see, I told you so.
Right.
I couldn't throw the ball. My shoulder was hurt. Because everyone's going, well, you're in your mid-30s. Are we sure?
Are we sure?
Just the injuries. If he comes out and just looks like a different guy, then at least he goes into the offseason with a, you just want a little bit of tape.
Well, something
when you played at a high level.
Yeah, I smell what you're cooking there.
Lamar Jackson back at practice for the Ravens, trending in the right direction for Baltimore. You want to talk about must win. 1-5 hosting the Bears at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Chicago's won four straight.
The Ravens are out of options. I mean, this is a, we don't have any room for any faults, any missteps, et cetera. Now, that division is terrible. Pittsburgh leads it, but, you know, come on. Everybody knows they're incredibly pedestrian. Cincinnati's relying on Joe Flacco to hold them into things until, if and when, Joe Burrow can come back. So the Ravens are still, I think, the favorites to win that division, even at 1-5 with as bad as it's been.
This weekend feels really important for the Bills to me. Buffalo was off to the great start, 4-0. Then they lost a game they should have in primetime to the Patriots, quite literally fumbled the game away. And then they lose to the Falcons again in primetime, back-to-back weeks.
They got beat up a little bit in that game.
They played like garbage in that game. That was the night Washington played the Bears. They have a bye week, so they're coming off of that. You don't get another rest the rest of the season. You start with the Panthers. You should win this game. If somehow they don't, though, and they're 4-3 with basically three bad losses and one out of a bye week, they no longer feel like a one seed candidate in the AFC. It starts to feel like maybe they're more flawed than we thought.
Yeah, so they were playing with their food a little bit to start the season. They had that lackluster, you know, first three quarters, whatever, against the Ravens. And now how fun does that game look now, that 41-40 epic in week one? But, you know, we're just kind of a little bit better than the Dolphins and a little bit better than the Saints. And dropped one in New England, but it was so what? They're playing with their food. They're looking ahead. And it kind of came back to bite them. The bye week, I think, came at a good time for them to sort of self-scout, revamp, kind of do a 2.0 version of this year. They're still so good. If someone emerges at the receiver spot that's consistent enough, maybe opposite Shakir, then you know you got a chance, I think, to be really, really good and host some playoff games in the AFC.
I mentioned the Bengals at 3-4 with Joe Flacco. They play the Jets this weekend at home. The Jets, 0-7, still looking for a win. They won't commit to a quarterback. Aaron Glenn says he knows who the QB is, but he's not announcing it. Based on what Woody Johnson, the owner, said this week, I have to imagine they're benching Justin Fields and they're going to Tyrod Taylor, who threw two picks in his last game, coming off the bench after Fields got sat. But I still don't see them winning. I don't know that it matters. Like, I do love that the cute idea of we're going to trick the Bengals. But when it's Tyrod Taylor versus Justin Fields, respectfully, I don't know how much it matters to keep that secret. But the Jets at 0-7 are the last team without a win in the NFL. More on the Week 8 slate as the day goes on, but let's keep the Beltway Blitz moving and talk some basketball. Wizards 0-1. They fall last night in Milwaukee to the Bucks. Bijan Todd joins us to discuss the ball game, Monumental Sports. Bijan, why don't we begin with, I guess, broad brush. What'd you think of their effort? What'd you think of the game?
Honestly, guys, I thought they got off to a slow start. I think that was evident pretty early on in the game that they were kind of letting the Bucks have whatever they wanted on offense. They kind of got into a little bit of a rhythm, though, in the second half, and I think the headline of the game was Trey Johnson, right? Starting off his first game in the NBA, 16 points, hit 4 of 8 threes, and I think he showed why he's one of the best offensive prospects this team has had in a while. So him and Keyshawn George, I think, are good signs for the future. But overall, yeah, got a lot of stuff I got to clean up on both ends, for sure.
I felt bad for Alex Saar. What happened to him last night is going to happen to a lot of people when Giannis is in that groove, dunking on everybody and playing bully ball and going downhill and, you know, takes one step from the three-point line to lay it in or dunk it on somebody. But I actually thought I saw some signs, the evolution of his game. Again, the numbers weren't incredible, the double-doubles there. But I liked some of the footwork down low. I was impressed.
Absolutely. The thing that Alex Saar needs to work on and that he said he's worked on over the offseason is just bodying his way into the paint more often and scoring like a seven-footer. And that's something that his coaches and his teammates all want him to do. And you're right. He was doing that a lot last night. And, you know, his defense against Giannis, like you said, there's only so much you can do. I think Will Dawkins said at preseason, like, he was the best switch defender in the NBA last year, Saar was, and that's good, but his on-ball defense does need a little bit of work, but there's nothing you can do against Giannis. But offensively, yeah, to your point, Danny, it was interesting to see him use his body to get into the paint more. He still has his three-point ball. He didn't take one last night, and I think that's a good thing. I want to see him get into the paint a little bit more often. So if he keeps doing that, he'll be in good shape.
I want to go back to Trey Johnson, who you referenced, shooting the ball well, 4 of 8 from 3, 16-point performance. He is special offensively. He's going to score 30 in a game this year. There's no doubt in my mind. What are the areas to monitor with him early on here in terms of, you know, where he's got to grow, where he's got to get better?
Absolutely. So his three-point shooting is something that's already set in stone. We know he can shoot the three ball. He did it incredibly well at Texas. This year, I think what I'm going to be focusing on for him is how can he penetrate the paint? Because, again, similar to Alex Starr, like, obviously Trey Johnson's not 7 feet tall. He plays a totally different position. But if you can get a guy who can get past his first defender, get into the paint, and then kick it out to a Corey Kispert or a Bub Carrington or a Keyshawn George for an open three, that'll be huge for him. And also interior scoring for Trey Johnson as well. And something that I think I watched a lot in Las Vegas in the summer league that was really impressive to me was just his defensive tenacity. And that's something that didn't really jump off the page for Trey Johnson when he was at Texas last year, but it's something that he's been working on and something that the coaches are kind of trying to drill into him this season. So if he can be a good point of attack defender in the NBA and guard a couple of guards and forwards on the other team that are maybe a little bit bigger than him, that's something that I'm going to keep my eye on for sure. So just interior scoring and defense.
So something I'm kind of curious about. It looked like Keyshawn George was the second unit ball handler kind of as part of that rotation. And you can clearly see in Milwaukee said, we are going to pressure that guy all over the court. And I thought generally held up well, but it was efforting, if that makes any sense, to kind of help them get into the offense. And, you know, he wasn't like punting it off himself or whatever, but, you know, it didn't look like pure point guard type stuff. Is that something that we expect to continue? What did you make of that? Because overall, the numbers look good. I thought he had a really good game, but you could clearly see that as soon as he was the ball handler, Milwaukee was all over him.
Yeah, and he's not a pure point guard. Like, he played guard at Miami, and he played a little bit of guard forward last year. He's not, like, a pure point guard in the sense that he's not like Chris Paul, right? Like, he's not going to be orchestrating the offense that efficiently at the guard position. But this is a team, again, that Brian Keefe has said they want multiple guys to bring the ball up. They want multiple guys to pass and kind of orchestrate the offense at the point. And I think Keyshawn George doing that for the first or the second unit is a really good thing because he looks, in my opinion, more comfortable out there than Sarr and Bub Carrington do out of their second-year guys. He looks like he has the confidence to get into the lane and kind of use his muscles and his body to create separation. And so if he can be a guy who can really orchestrate the offense, either in the first unit or coming off the bench, I think that's going to be a huge thing for his development because who knows, you know, in a couple of years he might be one of the guys who this team taps to be their lead guard, depending on where they go with different roster moves from here on out. But that was something to monitor for sure. That was a good point.
Bijan, thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Appreciate it.
You got it. All right, let's talk Commanders. Johnny Cakes-Allville of the Sports Junkies. Very new program. We're giving it a try. We're going to see if it sticks.
I like the energy.
So far.
I do. I like what I've heard.
So far, you guys have a shot. The energy is good.
We just got off our probationary period. So I think we're turning the corner.
Cakesy, before we talk Commanders, which is why you're on, I mean, how much tomorrow are the junkies going to talk about this salacious movie-like story out of the NBA where Chauncey Billups is allegedly rigging gambling games?
Chauncey's game over there.
This is starring Jessica Chastain. This is wild.
I mean, I do love the Molly's Game reference, Grant. That's a fantastic poker-themed movie. We all know that. Up there with Rounders, of course. Here's what I don't understand. These guys have already hit the lottery. Like Terry Rozier, we broke down his career earnings. Okay, it's Terry Rozier. This is not LeBron James we're talking about. Terry Rozier has already earned $150 million plus playing in the NBA. I mean, what a great life that is. Just live off that money, please, and don't have a weird side hustle where you're getting involved with throwing games and hosting illegal poker games and getting involved with, I don't know, La Cosa Nostra, the mob. That sounds like a terrible idea. I mean, what are these guys doing?
If you want to take part in a poker game, take part in the Cakes Classic, for God's sake.
Absolutely. I mean, what a great product tie-in that is, Grant Paulson. I love that.
Well,
MGM National Harbor, you know.
When I've gone out to National Harbor for the Cakes Classic, there were no X-ray machines built into tables to read face-down cards.
Nope.
You weren't
None
wearing contact lenses that read my pre-marked cards. We just
all it
poker.
Is, Grant, all it is just legal, regulated poker in a brick-and-mortar casino. The way it's supposed to be done, my friend.
The way Grandpa did it. The way Dad did it,
just
the way
so
Kate
reasonable.
Does it.
Yep, exactly. Just be a normal human being. That's all we're asking. I mean, what a wacky story that is.
Johnny Flexalvo, regarding this athletic contest on Monday between Washington and Kansas City, the return of Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin to practice is good. I'd rather have them than not.
Great.
But I think just expecting them to hit the ground running and be themselves, maybe Deebo more likely than Terry. But what are your thoughts on when they do come back, are they themselves, and how much are they going to help on Monday?
Yeah, Danny, I share your thought in that I just can't help but think that these guys are going to be reduced, especially Terry, when you have such a long layoff. And not only that, like, how much rapport do they have with Marcus Mariota? You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be starting, not Jaden Daniels. So hopefully they're productive, but if they're not out there looking like their normal selves, you know, like Terry looked last year, like, I'm not going to be surprised by that. I'm not going to be surprised if, you know, like, Terry's about 65-70% of normal Terry McLaurin. Hopefully Debo isn't that bad because he hasn't missed as much time. But we know that heel injury was reducing him in the last game he appeared in. So hopefully he's good to go. But I would not expect either to look at 100%.
Do you think they're already cooked? Do you think this would be the game that cooks them? Do you think we're weeks away from that? Where are you at on that?
I think this could be the beginning of the end. They would fall to 3-5. I believe their playoff chances, if they lose this game, hover around 10% at that point. Sure, they could string together some wins, but they're getting themselves behind the eight ball at this point. I don't feel very optimistic about the rest of the season. I mean, you guys had me on last week, and you asked me if I thought that this team would make the playoffs, and I said no then, and I haven't really changed my mind with Jaden Daniels still injured and having to face Patrick Mahomes and company at Arrowhead on a Monday night.
If they do win this game, what will the narrative be?
I think it has to be the way they won the games against the Giants and the Raiders. Like, they just have to absolutely road grade the Chiefs and rush for 150, 175 yards. And when you look at this Chiefs defense, they're really good at shutting down the pass. They're middle of the road at stopping the run. I think they allow about 106 rushing yards per game. So if they have a way of cranking up the running game and just keeping Mahomes and company off the field as much as possible, to me, that's their one real way of threading this needle and having a chance to pull the upset. I don't think you're going to see a Marcus Mariota passing masterclass in this game for him throwing, you know, 280, 300 yards. I don't think that's the way to win this game. The way to win this game is to run the ball and control the clock.
Cakesy, I'm going to give you three options, all right?
All right, I like options, yes.
You got to start one, you got to trade one, and you got to cut one.
Okay, good. I love this.
There's a different version of this game you've probably played a bunch in your younger years.
I've heard rumblings, yes, Grant.
All right, start, trade, and cut. These are
start,
three,
trade, or cut. Oh.
These are three poker movies. I want to know what you think is silliest, okay?
Okay, all right.
Rounders.
Yes.
Molly's Game.
Yes.
And I'm going to go Casino Royale.
I mean, this might be the easiest ever. Cut is Casino Royale. That is a James Bond film, correct?
It is, yes.
Okay, that's a James Bond film with Daniel Craig, correct?
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah. I last paid attention to James Bond, for the most part, Roger Moore. Ish.
Oh man, that's era. Tough.
You okay, didn't that's give tough. Pierce Brosnan
that's
a chance.
So that's the easiest cut of all time. Okay, so I'm cutting that.
All right, you know cutting what? Before casino. You even go any further, then I'm going to throw Casino Royale on a technicality. Didn't belong.
Okay.
All right. Rounders, good. Molly's Game in 21. Did you ever see that movie?
Oh yeah, the Kevin Spacey vehicle where they
back before Kevin Spacey was like. Nowhere to, you know, he's not allowed to.
Yeah, before he was not okay. Right.
Yeah, before everything went sideways when he was silly actor Kevin Spacey. All right, so
let's pull back the curtain here.
Molly's Game.
Kevin Spacey, great actor, terrible person, but great actor. So we can separate the two.
We can.
This is the easiest start of all time. We're starting Rounders.
That's a Kixie Pantheon movie. That's a podium movie for him.
It is the creme de la creme of poker slash gambling movies. All right, so we're starting Rounders. I don't really want to, but I think we have to trade Molly's Game.
Oh!
Molly's Game is strong. I mean, I can't cut Molly's Game. Molly's Game is strong. I'm going to trade Molly's Game and get probably two lesser poker movies in return. I can't name them, of course, off the top of my head. So we're trading Molly's Game.
You're going to go with Russell Crowe's Poker Face, and you're going to go with
that's tough.
Dead Money with like Sean Astin.
Yeah, I don't like the return, but I need to get something in value for Molly's Game because Molly's Game is pretty strong.
All right.
And we're cutting 21 because that's not even poker. That's blackjack. So who cares? Throw that overboard.
And that's like math and they're counting cards.
I get so psyched for that movie, though.
Yeah, I hate math, Danny. You know this.
It's the pitch.
I sneaky love 21. I think that's a great movie. You know who's amazing in that movie is Kate Bosworth. Big fan of her.
Really
work.
Good actress.
Wonderful.
It's the acting ability.
She has a
jumps off the screen.
Strong.
Yeah.
Her acting
I believe Kate Bosworth, I could be wrong in this, Kate Bosworth linked, now I may be off on this, linked with Justin Long. Is that a thing?
I'm going to need Danny
out
that.
Of my depth here. Am I looking at a boyfriend here?
Yes, you're right. I see a video of the two of them right now on her Instagram.
Yeah.
Here's, you know who else she's linked with? Max Scherzer.
I don't.
For a different reason than you think. Max Scherzer, do you know why?
Different than the fact that they have two different colored eyeballs?
Boom! Let's go, Cakes! Let's go! How'd you know Kate Bosworth had one green eye and one brown eye?
Well, I'm familiar with Kate Bosworth's game, my friend. You know this.
Heterochromia, I believe.
You're familiar with her acting.
I'm definitely familiar with her acting resume.
Can I get a segmentation on the Sports Junkies where we discuss how Justin Long outkicked his coverage by a thousand miles?
Have you guys ever seen? Have you ever sampled Barbarian featuring Justin Long?
Here's my file on that. You ready?
Yeah, please.
Go ahead, Grant, whenever you're ready.
Zero.
Cakesy.
Barbarian?
Hey, it's spooky season. That's a spooky movie. Give it a try if you have a call. I wouldn't watch it with your multitude of kids around, Grant and Danny, but that's a spooky one.
If you want a Justin Long vehicle to drive in, you're looking for Accepted, the South Harmon Institute of Technology.
South Harmon, you sleep.
Do you remember one?
I remember hearing about it. What I know about that movie, I could fill a Dixie cup with.
You know who's in that movie, who's a wonderful actress, is Blake Lively.
Blake Lively stars
about,
in that.
24-year-old Blake Lively, who is that was probably when she was about as good at acting as she's been
she's
at any point.
She's throwing 106 in that movie, Flexi.
Yeah, just throwing heat.
South Harmon Institute of Technology. I didn't even have to look this up. His name in that movie? Bartleby Gaines.
Bartleby Gaines?
Cakesy, that's great. Bartleby Gaines.
Close to Bartleby James, wine cooler fame back in the day. You don't know anything about that, Grant.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You do not.
All right, give me one metal question and then we'll let you go. Or music question. Give me one music question.
Give you one music question. Okay. I've got a great, I think this is topical and I don't think you'll get it, but I'll throw this meatball right down the middle for one Jeeps pulse.
Okay.
A very famous guitarist passed away, I want to say, within the last week. He was the original lead guitarist for Kiss. Can you name this guitarist?
Ooh.
Would you like his first name, Grant? And then maybe
choice. Give me multiple choice.
Okay. All right. Your choices are A, Richie Sambora.
Definitely not.
You sure about that?
I think so.
B, Richie Blackmore.
No chance. That's a fake name.
C, Ace Frehley.
Definitely not. So it's this one.
Those are your three choices.
Oh, it's one of those?
It's one of those three.
No, I have no idea, Casey.
Think Utah Jazz rookie that's not sized to be there.
Yeah, correct. That's
Ace
the guy.
Bailey?
Ace Frehley. Ace Frehley.
Oh, it's Ace Frehley?
Ace Frehley. He's no longer with us.
Oh, all right,
Pete. I actually did not know his first name. I just know Ace.
Okay.
I tried to look that up.
Well, there you go.
Very good.
Music with Cakes. In the off season, after the Commanders are done, maybe we'll do
a
music quiz at some point.
Love it. Let's do it. Let's fire it up.
All right. I think you guys are going to be fine. I know you've been nervous, but it doesn't sound like
it. And the cameras work for you guys, I think. I like that. I like that you guys are on camera.
Yeah, the cameras aren't zoomed in or anything.
We are on camera. Yes, our beautiful mid-50s faces are all on camera.
All those pores zoomed in.
High-definition Auville.
Blemishes. Yes, they're great.
Attaboy, Cakesy. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys. Thanks for having me.
That is your Beltway Blitz. A little fun there with Johnny Cakes.
Throwing the ball around.
Absolutely. Just some pals. Fun. And Danny Cannell's on the show in 35 minutes. Terry and Debo are practicing in full. What will it look like for them this weekend? Let's get into that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. Just got off the phone with our guy, Bob Kendrick, who is the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City.
He is a star, that guy.
Good news, bad news, okay? Bad news is we're looking for a Sunday morning tour. That's pretty much the only thing we could fit in to the Kansas City itinerary. Good news is Bob's the man. They're going to open it up for us a little early.
Oh, come on.
We're going to get over there.
Look at this.
I've wanted to go there for years. He does such a good job. He's come on our show. He's the best storyteller in the world, and the history there is incredible. So I think we're going to get to go walk through, he said, guided tour, maybe a little over an hour, maybe 10 a.m., 11 o'clock before football on Sunday.
Oh, deal me in.
So I'm steamed.
Hell yeah.
So on, you guys know I'm a video gamer. I partake in playing video games.
Darius does?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot
you
of
don't
video
play
games.
Video games.
I play a little bit of video games.
Well, I try to get you to play video games. Yeah. You tell me to shove it in dark places.
Well, you
Darius.
Play single player games. I like to play against competition.
Unless they beat you and then you kick them out of the leg. Go ahead.
That's true. Yep. In MLB The Show, they now have this kind of like Negro League storyline mode, and Bob Kendrick narrates it and tells all these stories of all these different, you know, famous Negro League players. It is so awesome. So to be able to witness this in person, this is going to be amazing. I can't wait.
This is going to be, I've seen so many videos and stuff, and I've known Bob for many years. Top five coolest guys of all time. Like legit, just Hall of Fame, all-time human being.
Hey, like beyond generous and nice and kind, 100%. But knows everything.
His life mission is basically to bring awareness to the Negro Leagues via the baseball museum.
Uh-huh.
And so for us to be able to go there and take part in a tour with him, especially if he's involved, would be even more amazing. But if not, hopefully he'll be around. But yeah, he's normally he says he's not there on Sunday, but we'll see. But that's going to be fire. Cannot wait. Kansas City. Going to be a good trip. We will be live from KC on Monday and Tuesday, thanks to our friends Kandori and Murad. Also, really quickly, as an investigator, you know that if I wasn't doing radio, what would I be doing?
You would investigate things.
But what kind of things? I would solve lots of crimes, probably.
But I don't know that you would be a detective. You think you'd be a detective?
I think I would. So my wife says all the time I'd be terrible at it. She's like, you always say you'd be a detective. You'd be so bad. Because I can't, when I open the fridge and I need to find the ketchup, I can't find it.
Yeah.
My point is that it has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, but, I don't think you'd be good at, not to be too coy about this, sure. Coming up to a dead body and, looking through their pockets and finding the lint that belonged to this one hotel that you knew about.
Is anybody good at that?
I don't. Some people are. I think you need to ask, you want to ask people questions.
An interrogator.
You were put on this earth to find out about information. When everyone else goes, I'm good, I'm done here. You're what did you tell the barber in the exact moment about the haircut?
I have cracked a case.
Yeah.
So, Darius, we were at the hockey match on Tuesday. And I think I asked you and Toby, there was this very loud soccer chant group in section whatever it was. It turns out it's 409. That was above me in the raft, all the way up top, constantly throughout the game, Danny, that were chanting and singing soccer songs, basically, during the game.
Huh.
So loud, so many of them, felt like it was maybe 40, 50 people. And I thought it was Seattle Kraken fans, because they have the big Seattle Sounders, soccer team that everybody overly talks about in Seattle. And I thought maybe a huge group of Sounders fans come, And in my mind, what I was connecting the dots on is, well, they just all do like hockey songs as this new team, as like soccer hooligan type, like,
we're all the crack and we're the body crack and on the road to the hockey and the nuts where we go. And yeah. Like everyone knows when to do it.
100%.
It's the greatest mystery in the world as far as I'm concerned.
So that's exactly what was happening. Yeah. Like 1,000% that's what was happening. Yeah. So today I cracked the case. And by that I mean Ted Leonsis tweeted what was going on and I read it. So like I clearly solved this.
Who has the information? Maybe. Grant does. Who doesn't? Us.
Ted Leonsis tweeted this today. From Tuesday's Capitals game, I brought this up as soon as I saw Darius and Toby because I was sitting in a different spot than them before we drove home. What the heck was going on up there? He said the loudest section at Capital One Arena was Section 409, a group of students from Radley College in Oxford, UK. The school brings students to experience Washington, D.C. each October, and they always come to a Caps game. So it's just random students from the UK that were actually singing soccer songs, probably.
Well, remember, we talked to that guy who's like, it's my first time in the States, I'm going to a hockey match.
That's British Dan.
Yeah, British Dan. Was that what his
British
name was?
British Tom, I think.
Tom?
Because he's the same name as Tom Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
It was British Tom. So anyway, cracked the case. That's why it was so loud at Capital One Arena with like soccer...
chanting.
Sing-songing? I don't even know what that
would
be.
I went to, when we did that UK trip with my son and I with his club team, went to a bunch of games, obviously. There's no one person that goes, okay, guys, we're going to sing the song about beer.
I was going to say, how do they start it?
How does anyone, and they all instantly know, and they instantly do it. Like I ask constantly, like, is there an interval? At the 13-minute mark, do you sing a song? At the 21-minute, is it based on if a ball goes out of bounds?
I was going to say, I bet you it's game-related.
And no one will answer me, and they just all know.
So I kept saying to all the people around me, I was like, oh, it must be, one of them I noticed was right after a penalty was called. So, like, your goalie skates off, it's 6-on-5 until the whistle. And they started doing, like, and I'm like, oh, so they do this every time they get a power play, I guess? Like, but I couldn't really make out words. It was too far away.
Sure, sure, sure.
All I knew was, oh, DC United's playing in this building also, or these people from Seattle, I guess. But it turns out they were London students.
Rooting for the Caps, I guess.
My guess is you hate that. I think it's awesome. I think it sounds amazing. I think the investment and the engagement is great. Like, if I could touch a button and we did that at every Commanders game and, like, every Caps game, every Wizards game, just people singing random songs throughout the game, I would say 1,000% do it.
So I'm all about it. It's very fratty, and I like that. It reminds me of the old days of, like, college basketball and the joy when people had – we did songs about our rivals and all sorts, and it was great.
Did you have a rival?
We had rivals here. But I'm frustrated. I get frustrated, to borrow from Fred Smoot. Because when we would do it in high school, for example, about Landon, right, our rival, somebody had to go song 3, or we're doing the this doo-dah chant, or whatever. I can't figure out how when I'm at a Man United game, someone just like the ball's being passed back and forth between fullbacks, and there's no threat of scoring, nothing's happening, or it's like, we hate Man City. Bleeping Man City, they're the worst people in the world. Like, how do you know to do that?
Remember last year when you and I were in Richmond?
Yes.
At Gus's,
yes.
The sports bar? So we just went to go get food before AWOD's football miracle or football fest or whatever. And so we were at the AWOD.
Before Stub Fest.
Stub. Our guy Stub. He was there too. But anyway, so we go out to this place called Gus's, and Danny and I walk in, and I don't remember what team it was. Arsenal or something?
Arsenal.
But it was
Arsenal.
I mean, there were 300 people. None of them were eating anything.
Yeah, we wanted to watch Florida State and somebody.
Yeah. And they're just staring up at the screen, but they're doing songs. But the way that worked that day, it was the same guy every time, and he would just start yelling a song, and then everyone would join in. So maybe it's as simple as there's like one leader, and that guy starts it, and then everyone just picks up. Like if you're, I think with cheerleaders, this happens, where you're watching a high school football game or something, and there's a, you know, how do they know when to start cheering? I think one girl, I don't know if it's the same one every time or if it's a different one. Like now it was her turn last time, now it's mine. But like someone will just go, be aggressive. And then it's like, be aggressive.
Be aggressive.
B-E-A-G-G-R-E-S-S-I-V-E, be whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But like someone just shouts it and all the girls are like, okay, here we go. Isn't it just that? Is there more to it than that?
I think there's more to it. I don't know how to describe it. Because it's, as you said, it's the entire place. So we went to games in Scotland, went to games in Northern England, and it is instantaneous. There's no like one, it's like, you know, like Loud Goat goes, let's go Caps. And then everyone else goes, let's go Caps. I get that. That makes sense to me. One person led it, right? This is just instantaneous sing-song. And they all seem to know it. Doesn't matter the fan base. They all do it. And they all kind of have this prearranged thing. I don't know if there's a meeting. I don't know if there's like a weird email. I have been fascinated with how they know when and what to sing. And they always seem to.
I have had probably 50 people ask me where we're doing the show from out there Monday and Tuesday because they're going to go out for the game. I'm pretty sure we're doing our show from our radio station in Odyssey headquarters.
A lot less exciting for you guys.
So I don't think it's a bar or a restaurant or a meetup or anything like that. But follow socials and maybe we could do like a casual watch Saturday or Sunday. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm finding a sports bar and I'm posting up and watching a bunch of football all day long. So if you guys want to do it that way, you could just come hang out and we could get together as a show with listeners. But there's apparently going to be a lot of people there that are Commanders fans because I've heard from a ton of people that want to know where we're doing the show. But I think we're just at the Odyssey radio station, which is going to work out very well for us, but it's not really a place where you guys will want to hang out or have any fun. They don't have chicken wings or beer there, I don't think.
Right.
Unless they have a different radio station than we do.
I was going to say, unless it's a different operation.
Will Debo look like Debo? Will Terry McLaurin actually put up some numbies in his return? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is official. The practice report is out for the Commanders today, and Debo Samuel and Terry McLaurin both practiced in full. Now, remember, even though it's Thursday, this is really like a Wednesday because they don't play until Monday. So when you are a full participant in practice on a Wednesday, barring a setback, there's really nothing to discuss. You are going to play in a football game. So all systems look like they're a go here. Dan Quinn said in a national radio interview on Sirius XM on Monday that he thought both Terry and Debo would be practicing this week and would play. Now they've both practiced today with no limitations. So it's happening, Danny. They're going to be on the field.
I'm trying to look it up during the commercial break, what the status of Noah Brown was before they retroactively put him on IR. Like, had he gotten to this point? I don't think he had.
No, I don't think he was ever full practice.
Yeah, me neither. So this to me, for I think, you know, anybody that was kind of skeptical, and I certainly would raise my hand for that, I was really skeptical. I don't care what they say anymore. I need full practices, like multiple in a row, before I start believing anything that happens or kind of comes out from these press conferences and the like. This is a major step forward. So I am relieved. I am thrilled. I am really, really happy. Let's stack one more day tomorrow, and by God, let's try to go have a season.
The question shouldn't be, will they play? The question will be, and should be, how well will they play? And if Terry's out there, great. Is he in football shape or is he rusty? He has not played in weeks. He got hurt in the Raiders game. How many days ago was that? It was a month ago. I know that. And he missed a month of football. You know, we talked about when he wasn't practicing at training camp and what if he gets off to a slow start and what if he's not in football shape? This is kind of the same ordeal.
Yeah, Raiders game September 21st, so just over a month.
So he went 4 weeks without football activities, basically. That's a long time.
Yes, it was.
Is Terry Terry? Is this a version of him, BC version, whatever? Because that matters. I think regardless, it's an upgrade. It's going to be better than what they've been trotting out there at his position. But the other one, and I think the more important one, is Debo. Because Debo played against the Bears. Remember, he wasn't feeling great that week, and he wasn't practicing, but then he played. And Debo was not Debo.
Clearly not himself.
If he's not, this offense is different. He is the guy that it goes through. He's the most important weapon. That's not my opinion. That's what they have decided based on their usage and their play calling. That it's not Terry. It's not Bill. It's Debo Samuel that they start their plan with every week, and then they work. He's the trunk, basically, and the branches come off that in the tree. That's how they call the game.
Do you think that will be, let's assume health for everybody. Do you think that will be how they are doing it, say, in December against Minnesota?
Is Debo healthy?
Yes.
Definitely.
So I guess, so let me reframe the question then. Like, Hal McLaurin wasn't there at all in the summertime and was not McLaurin for the first couple weeks of the season. That has no impact on that. In other words, if McLaurin is the guy that you've seen or that had the career here last year after a huge speed bump and a lot of ordeals to get there, but after the bye week against Denver and Minnesota, the Giants, et cetera, would you expect it to be the same kind of pecking order? You see what I'm saying? Like, does Debo eat first and McLaurin eat second?
I don't think it will ever be this year that Terry's ahead of Debo in the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he won't have bigger games. Like, Jordan Addison just had a career day and outperformed Justin
Jefferson. Higgins has outgained Jamar Chase in a game. There's no one would ever say that he's the one.
I don't think Cliff's ever going to sit down at his desk and the first thing he's going to do is, all right, let's get Terry his touches before he talks about Debo and worries about that. Last year, it was Terry and then everything else came after that. Now it's Debo and then Terry. I just think that's, first of all, the way they operate their offense with the eye candy stuff and the gadget stuff and the jet action and the backfield motion, Debo is the perfect piece for that. But that's also sneaky why I don't think it's a lock that he doesn't get paid this offseason. Now, his durability the rest of the year, his performance in the second half, those things are going to determine that maybe. But can you imagine what fans are going to think and what's going to be said if they drag their feet and they're unwilling to pay Terry McLaurin? And then they're perfectly willing to fork over a bunch of money to Debo after one season. That's going to be pretty interesting to see the reaction to that if it happens. Because he's in a contract year, Debo is.
That's right.
But as good as Terry is a better wide receiver than Debo Samuel. He's a better pass catcher. When he's been ranked in that fringe top 10, top 15 area, Debo almost never has. He's had 1 year like that. But Debo is a more important weapon. He is a better piece in this offense, even if he's not a better wide receiver. Does that work?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I mean, Debo is a better weapon. He's a better weapon than almost anybody in the league. Like, because it's the versatility. Like, how many guys are running back, slot receiver, outside receiver, occasional throw of the football too? You know what I mean? Like, in terms of trick plays. The stuff you can do with him is near limitless. So in terms of that, there aren't that many guys in that tier. But if you're talking about pure wide receiver? No. McLaurin is, I don't think it's an insult to say McLaurin's the more complete wide receiver. Debo's his own category to me.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think they agree with us, more important than what we think.
Right.
I mean, they have coached it, they have called it, they have planned it that way. They use him the most. And the idea that Terry wasn't around for the summer, I guess, but I mean, we were 2-3 weeks into this thing, and it was still what was happening.
Totally.
He had three catches in the Raiders game.
And that's what I wonder. And that's what I wonder is was that out of, we don't know what we're going to get from Terry, so this is our plan until it's not, or this is our plan?
It's just 1 week. I mean,
that's all we saw. It's all we saw.
Three games in.
Yes.
It was trending more to the Debo side.
That's right.
Less, to the Terry side. Grant and Danny on the Fan. The college football weekend is shaping up to be pretty juicy as well. Danny Cannell, who covers college football and has great energy, one of our favorite college football guests, is going to hop on with us next right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.